right, well, open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. I wanted to do a part, actually, it's a part three. Last week I talked about the bloodline. Everybody remember the royal bloodline? That we are a bloodline of a champion. We are a royal priesthood. It's funny because last week I talked about the queen, right? The queen's descendants and all that, and she went up and died on us. Man, I can't believe that. But anyway, Wednesday night I continued on the blood because I wanted to finish some things in that respect for that. But I wanted again to teach to this morning on the blood covenant. Just one more study on the blood, and especially this one, because I think this is the one that people need really need right now because of the word covenant. Because the word covenant really means a lot to us. And the word covenant in a lot of our cases means a promise, an oath. And in what we're going through today, people need to know that God has made a promise to us that cannot be broken. And that promise is what keeps us surviving this world, thriving in this world, moving forward, and in the face of gas prices, high crime rates that are taking place around the country right now. It's amazing the murders, just unthinkable murders and crime. But the condition of the world today, and I related it about 2 months ago to Abraham's time, but the promise God made to Abraham is still valid for us today. The promise he made to the Jews is still valid for us today. And so if you're struggling, you know, I think was it last week or 2 weeks ago, several people raised their hands about anxiety, right? Was it 2 weeks ago? A lot actually asked about they're going through anxiety. So I wanted to make sure that you understood that the promise of God can release you of that anxiety. That a lot of times we just need to know that there's somebody working on our behalf. He's working behind the scenes, and I don't have to worry about everything. God will take care of us. He promised that. So go to Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to talk about this because it really pertains to the blood, the importance of the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. You there? Yeah. You're yawning when you say yeah. Verse 20 said, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep," notice how he did this. I want to read this again. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead," okay? We know the Father God raised Jesus from the dead, correct? It's a basic theology, right? He raised Jesus from the dead. Now let me just add to that theology. Jesus raised himself up from the dead. He said so. And then in Romans 8:11, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. So all three were involved in that. Okay, so that's just because they're one God. They work together. Three different personalities or persons, but one God. I know it's like, my mind just exploded. How could you be one but three? Well, that's God. You can't think because he's God. So don't even try and put that into a box. So anyway, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So the blood had everything to do with raising Jesus up from the dead. And I think I said this last week, that his blood was that of his Father, God. Right, he was born of a virgin, so his blood was never tainted. It had no sin in it. Right? Could he have sinned? He could have, but he couldn't, because he was God. He was tempted in all points, but never sinned. Right? So the blood, his blood, is what raised him from the dead. It was spotless. It justified. It sanctified. It pulled him up from the dead. So notice it says that it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. What does everlasting mean? It's forever. It never ends. So it didn't end when Jesus was raised from the dead. It didn't end at the age of the apostles when they died. It continues even till today, even forever. All right? It's an everlasting covenant. Then it says, may you make you, notice the blood through this covenant, this what we call the blood covenant, it says, will make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the blood is working right now to make you complete and perfect in every good work. I want to read the Amplified for a minute. The Amplified says it this way. May the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from the dead Jesus Christ our Lord, the great shepherd, by the blood that sealed and ratified the everlasting agreement. Then it says in verse 21, it says, it will strengthen, complete, and perfect you, and this is the best part, and make you what you ought to be. So faith in the blood, understanding the blood, will make you what you ought to be. And we know that's a royal priesthood, right? A chosen generation, born again, a new creature in Christ, that you are who God says you are. You're a new creature, right? Those old things are gone, passed away. You're not that same old person anymore. You have a brand new identity. And it's all because of the blood. The blood makes you complete and perfects you and makes you who you ought to be. So when people look at you and say, oh, isn't that, when you know, they look to Jesus, isn't that the son of the carpenter? You know, isn't that Mary's son? And no, when they look at you and say, oh, isn't that, you know, that, no, I'm a new person in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm born again, spirit-filled. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got authority. I've got dominion in this earth. I am not the same old person you used to know. I've changed. But it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant that that happens. Amen. Right? The Bible says that we have to have faith in the blood. Now, let's understand. Let me just go through covenant real quick, all right? So the word covenant, as we know it, right, we know the Bible is broken up into two parts, right? The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We know it as the Old Testament and the New Testament, correct? So covenant is an older word. It means agreement. It means a promise, and things like that. So when we look, when we say the Old Covenant, we really mean Old Testament. Same word. Testament is more of an English word, English word. When somebody, before somebody passes away, you do your last will and testament, right? Your wills. We call it wills for short, but it's last will and testament. That's how it's official. My will, and this is my testament. In other words, this is my promise. So now I promise that my descendants will inherit my money. This is my will. This is what I want to be done. And then this is my promise as well. So it's together. It's my last will and testament. So God, we broke up the Bible into two parts, right? The Old Testament, the New Testament. Old Covenant, New Covenant. So, but the word covenant has two different meanings in Hebrew and in Greek. And in Greek, it means agreement or a promise. That's how we're familiar with. But in the Old Testament, ready? The Old Testament, the Hebrew word for covenant, ready for this? It means a promise cut with blood. A promise that has been cut with blood. Let me make it a little bit more real. A promise that has been sealed in blood. That's what covenant means in the Hebrew. So let me give you a modern day example of how we look at a promise or an agreement. Right? Have anybody ever buy a car or lease a car? Right? Everybody has, right? So you always dread, right, when you have to go into the finance guy's office, right? Because the moment you walked in to talk to the salesperson, they already started printing out a bazillion pieces of paper, right, coming through that printer, right? And you know that once you seal the deal, you agree, You got to go in there and sign this and sign this and sign this, initial this and sign this, and you know, then that yellow sticker says sign here, initial here, right? You have this huge packet, right? But that whole packet is your promise to pay. It's their promise to provide you with a car, and that's it. And then the rest of it is your promise to change the oil, change the brakes, change the tires, only do without 10,000 miles a year, right, if you're doing a lease, right? Pay on time, do this, and you've got to sign every single piece of paper. And it takes hours there in a finance person. Especially if they make a mistake, they got to reload the printer, they got to reprint everything. But modern day, let's go back to old ancient days, you didn't have a signature. You had blood. You sealed, your promise was sealed in your blood. Today, our promise is sealed with a signature. Okay, so you kind of understand what the purpose of blood is in the old covenant? That means it's a promise cut with blood. Today, we would say it's a contract signed with my autograph, with my signature. Good? Okay, so now we put our old covenant or our old ancient thinking hats when we talk about blood. Because God dealt with an old society that had no signatures. They had no last names back there. Right? Remember Joseph of Arimathea. Right? They didn't have last names. Christ was not Jesus' last name, by the way. Everybody thinks like, isn't that Mr. Christ? No, it's not his last name. So, you know, he was Jesus the carpenter's son. That's how you didn't have a last name. So you really didn't have a signature. You sealed things with blood. If you were a king, you sealed it with your ring and a wax, and that's how you sealed something. It's a king's seal, right? So old covenant, that's how we thought about blood, how important it was for blood. It sealed the promise. Good? All right. Let me give you something interesting. Genesis chapter 3, do you remember when, if you want to go there, you can, but do you remember when God clothed them with skins? Right? So Adam and Eve clothed, they sinned, they fell, they sinned, they disobeyed God. They clothed themselves with a fig leaf. We say a fig leaf, right? With figs and not one leaf, a big leaf, you know, whatever. So they clothed themselves with leaves. And God said, no, that's not good. Right? So God killed an animal, and he took the skins of the animal and covered them. So there was blood shed. Everybody understand, right? You can't take the skins of an animal unless you kill the animal. He cut blood. God cut blood. But in that cutting of the blood, God made a promise that there was going to be a Savior coming. It was the seed of a woman. He made that promise. Now, I did a little study on Adam, the word Adam. In the Hebrew, every letter is a picture. As you get a name in Hebrew, the words are really pictures that put together a name. So every letter describes or illustrates something. This is really cool. It illustrates something. So we have in Genesis, you know, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. The word man in its generic form of the Hebrew is the word Adam. But his name was also Adam. Okay? So it's its generic form and then in its specific form. Like it was Adam and Eve. But the word Adam means mankind in its generic form in the Hebrew. But if you take a look at the letters that make up the word Adam, you know what it means? I will. I wrote it down, and it was so good that I want to make sure it's right. So the word Adam, when you take the letters, ready? It means to show red blood. That's what Adam, in its letters, illustrates. It illustrates to show red blood. So when he said, Adam, he's saying, there's going to be bloodshed. So God was already prophesying it. Think about this. When Jesus came, he called him the last bloodshed, the last Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus is called the last Adam. So he's saying, this will be the last bloodshed. He says, this man that I'm calling the last Adam is going to show some real blood. Isn't that interesting that God already prophesied it? In the name, he's saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have to show some blood. We're going to have to make a promise in blood. Wow. Pretty interesting. Amen. So let's talk about more of this covenant. Genesis chapter 15. This is where it gets interesting because we always go back to Abraham, right? Remember a couple of months ago I talked about Father Abraham. He's the father of faith, and we are blessed with believing Abraham. So the blessing we have now is the blessing of Abraham, right? Galatians chapter 3. Read Galatians chapter 3. It's very self-explanatory. We are blessed with believing Abraham. If we believe in faith, we are blessed. So the blessings of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles. This is not talking about heaven blessing. It's talking about earthly blessings. Good? If it's not good, just raise your hand and we'll have an extra class later for you could stay after. Okay, let's go to Genesis 12 first. Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, notice his name is Abram, remember that, I'm going to hit this later, and it'll rock your socks. The Lord said to Abram, A-B-R-A-M, he says, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, you shall be a blessing. Amen. You're a blessing. If you're blessed with the same blessing that God spoke on Abram is also on your life, if you're a Christian. So you're a blessing. Say, I'm a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. It says, and I will bless those who bless you. So, hey, when somebody blesses you, say, God bless you right back. Say, you're blessed. Why? Because if you bless me, God says he'll bless you. Then it says, I will curse him who curses you. So whoever curses you, stand back. Lightning's about to... No, just kidding. But God says, I'll curse those who curse you. In other words, he'll fight for you. It says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right? So this is God's promise. He's making a promise to Abraham. Go to Genesis 15. Go to Genesis 15. So he's saying, he's making promises. Now, how many of you, somebody has said something to you and made you a promise, and then they reneged on the promise, right? It happens to all of us, right? And then after a few of those, you're like, well, I can't trust you anymore. Right? I mean, it's the truth, right? You know, hey, you know, we call them empty promises. All right, you said this before. You didn't come through before. I don't believe you anymore. And what you have to do is rebuild your reputation or rebuild a trust between the two. Correct? It should be when you say something, let your yes be yes, your no be no. If you made a vow or a promise, you fulfill it. The Bible says you swear to your hurt. In other words, if you made a promise, I don't care if it hurts you, you got to fulfill the promise. Because it's your word, not mine. If you don't want to do it, fine. But it destroys your character. Because you destroy yourself by the words you speak. So if you made a promise, fulfill it. Good? So now Abram thinks that God just saying things. You just made a promise. Genesis 15, God speaks to Abraham again, or Abram. He says, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what? Watch this. Watch this. What will you give me? In other words, he's saying this. All right, God, you made me a promise in Genesis chapter 12. You just made me another promise. You said I was going to be the father of many nations. Prove it. What are you going to give me to show me that your promise is real? Remember with Noah, God put a rainbow in the sky, and he said, that's a sign of my promise that I'll never flood the earth again. Right? I'll never destroy mankind with a flood again. Right? God put a sign. So Abram is saying, okay, God, you made these promises to me. Prove to me that you're fulfilling your promise. How will I know? Notice, let me read it again. He says, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, now watch what he's doing. He's saying, listen, let's have a talk here, Abram. You know, you're starting to tick me off. You don't believe I'm God? I was here before you ever got here. He said, and now you want a promise. That's okay. It's okay that you want me to fulfill my promise. He says, come outside. Let's have a talk. Step outside. You ever hear that? Step outside. He says, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldees. He says, to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Here's another one. Another like, well, how will I know? Let me see the contract. You're making me promises, God. So this is the second time he's saying, what are you going to do, God, to prove it that I will inherit this land? Second time. So he said to him, bring me, watch this is important, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old lamb, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two. He's shedding blood. God is saying this, okay, let's do this. This is going to be, Abraham, you've asked me twice. Let me prove it to you in a blood covenant. Because to Abram, it was like, whoa, now we're getting serious. This is going to mean cutting blood, then I know you are God. So watch this. He says, cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures, that represents Christ, that's a whole other teaching. And when the vultures came down, the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. What does this mean? Well, the Hebrew means this, that this was so monumental. This was almost like Christ being raised from the dead. That this blood covenant that God was getting into with Abram was world changing. That this blood covenant now, because God is saying, this promise that I am making with man, with this man right here, will change the world. Because through him, my son is going to come. You understand why it's great horror? The Hebrew literally says that this was monumental. It was earth-shattering. It wasn't just an incident. To God, this was everything. Now I'm going to show mankind my promise. Everybody good? See, I think it's Psalm 89 that God says this. If I've made you a promise, I don't care if you don't hold up your end of the bargain. I don't care if your grandkids don't hold up the end of the bargain. I am God. I cannot lie. I made a promise, and I'm going to stick to the promise. Hell or high water, he says, I am not changing my mind. He says, even if your descendants don't follow me, I'm going to be faithful to my promise. Why? Because he's God and he cannot lie. Now watch this. Let's continue. And he says, verse 13, then he said to Abram, know certainly that, watch this, that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. In the blood covenant, in this blood, God is beginning to show him the future of all his descendants. You talk about an everlasting blood covenant. You talk about power in the blood. When we sing about the power of the blood works great things. The blood is alive. As he's cutting this blood covenant, he's saying, okay, Abram, let me share with you some details. Your descendants are going to become slaves. They're going to walk away from me. They're going to disobey me. They're going to give themselves over to Egypt because they don't trust me. But I'm telling you this, Abram, that after 400 years, I'm still a God of my promise. And when I bring them out, he says, I'm going to bring them out with silver and gold. They're going to be, there's no sickness, no feeble among them. And I will bring them out with great joy because I have an everlasting covenant with you. He says, and I'll make sure that it's everlasting with your descendants. Amen. So I don't know who it is, but God has made you a promise, and if he made you a promise, he's going to stick to it. The promise he made to Abraham is still valid for us today. And in the blood of the everlasting covenant, God can never break his promise to you. There's healing there. There's joy there. There's anti-anxiety medicine there. There's peace there. There's mercy there. There's grace in the blood. There's prosperity in the blood. Anything God promised to Abraham is in the blood, and it's everlasting, and it transcends time, and it's still valid today. So when you pull up to a gas station and the price is through the roof, you just declare, Father God, thank you that you'll take care of my needs in grand style. Because you made a promise in Philippians 4:19, it says that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus my Lord. So I declare that promise is mine through the blood. You said that if I raise my children and nurture an admonition of the Lord, when they are old, they shall not depart from it. So I don't care if my kids are going berserko right now, because they're going to come back. And when they come back, all of heaven is going to rejoice. My kids are going to serve you from their very last breath. So will their descendants serve you, because I trained them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because he promised it. In Isaiah 53:5, God made a promise that by his stripes we are healed. Therefore, God, I declare by your promise, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that by his stripes I was healed. It doesn't say you're not going to get sick, but it does say he provides healing for the sickness. Amen. So when COVID hit, thank you, Lord God, by his stripes I was healed. COVID, you can do what you need to do, but I declare I'm healed. And when you're done, I'm going to have antibodies. So thank you very much. Because in the blood is the greatest antibody that ever existed. His blood has the cure, is the vaccine for every single illness known to man. He took upon himself all sicknesses and diseases. And when he went into the grave, his body was creating antibodies. And when he came up, the blood was poured on the mercy seat. That blood is spotless. That blood is filled with antibodies for any sickness and any disease. That's why he said, by his stripes we are healed. Yes, brother. From what, 2 minutes ago? So when Jesus... I have to rewind myself. That's the blood of the everlasting covenant. Praise the Lord. Is your father? Oh, you say, see what they're doing? He's your father. He's your father. No, he's your father. Well, he's your father-in-law. No, he's your father. Genesis chapter 17. Everybody good so far? The purpose of the blood. I plead the blood all the time. I declare the blood. I thank God for the blood. Father, thank you for the blood. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. By the blood, you have removed my sins. You washed me clean. Because of the blood, you've opened up the throne room to me that I can come in boldly and obtain mercy in time of need. Thank you for the blood. So, Genesis 17, go there, ready? So, he cuts the blood covenant. Now, watch this, verse 1. Remember, he made him a promise. He's going to have a kid, right? Verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant, see that? Covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Now watch what he does in verse 5. God does something huge. He says, now remember now, he's saying, we're in covenant, Abram. I don't know how many times I got to tell you, Abram. He says, but know this, I'm Almighty God. I will make you a father of many nations. He says, watch this. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. So the promise, or this agreement, this covenant agreement that God just entered, he finally entered into it with Abram. He says this, I've got to change your name. Because now everyone will know that we're in covenant by your new name. So let me give you an example. So recently, you know, everybody's getting married this year for some reason or another. I don't know. So Nicolette and Lewis just got married in July, right? And, you know, at the end of the wedding, we do, you know, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Lopez, right? She is no longer a Casimus. She changed her name. Her last name is changed. We're actually talking about this last night because my two boys, their brides, their, you know, their the fiance, the future daughter-in-laws, or one daughter-in-law, future daughter-in-law, have now become Casimuses, and Nicolette's like, I'm mad because I'm no longer a Casimus. I'm a Casimus, but now I got to change my name. So listen what it does. When she changes her name, it declares to the world that she is in covenant with a man. And so, and the Bible says that the marriage covenant is like Christ and us, the blood covenant. So when people talk to her, you know, now she signs Nicolette Lopez, not Nicolette Casimus. When they see that, they say, okay, she is attached. She has made a promise. He was there. She made the promises. Oh, some of you were there, right? And on July 31st, she made promises to him to be his wife. He made promises to her. And in that process, there was a license that I signed. And in response, her name is now changed. Now notice here God's saying, well, let me say it this way. So now she has to go through DMV, right? Department of Motor Vehicles, insurance, all that crazy stuff, ready? To change her identity. That change in identity means she is in covenant with a man. Good? He doesn't change his last name. She changes her last name. Now, don't say, well, that's old-fashioned, you man chauvinist pig. Remember, that represents God and his covenant with us. God says, I am changing your name, Abram. I ain't changing my name. God didn't change his name. God says this, I'm changing your name. Why? Because the world will know that you're in covenant with me. Now you're mine. We are the bride of Christ, correct? We change our name. He doesn't change his name. But it's a covenant thing. So now he says, I am changing your name to Abraham, because now the world, when you say Abraham, the world knows that you're in covenant with me, with God. Good? So I looked up the word Abraham in the Hebrew with the letters and pictures. You know about all the pictures? Remember Adam and the pictures of his letters meant cut with, or to show red blood? Well, I was wondering, why in the world did God give him an H? Well, we know God's name, like, is Elohim. So I said, all right, there's an H there. We know his name is Jehovah, right? We say Jehovah. It's actually Yivi or Yehovah, right? Or Yahweh. There's many different ways. But there's an H. There's a couple of H's there. So, like, there's something with the H. He gave him an H. So I looked it up in the Hebrew, and this, the Hebrew letter, ready, for H is a sound, and it's the sound of breath. So the H is, the H is an exhale. It's a, so what God did was he breathed on Abram. In other words, the H represents me and my family are blessed by God. His breath is upon us. His spirit is upon us. Do you remember John chapter 20 or 21? When Jesus went went to the disciples when he was raised from the dead, he said this. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. H is breath. Abraham was God breathed. When you be born again, God does this. And he breathes life into you. You receive the Holy Spirit. Abraham's identity was totally changed by the breath of God. I don't know what more to say. That's so good. The word Yahweh, ready? The word Yahweh has two H's in it. And scholars believe, ready, that, well, really, he really doesn't have a name, because, you know, how do you, like, he said, I am. Like, you can't give me a name. I am. So scholars believe that the word Yahweh or Jehovah, right, there's two H's in there. His name is not a name. His name is, ready, the first H is an inhale, and the second H is an exhale. Breath represents life. Do you remember when he took the dirt in Genesis 2 and he made Adam? What did he do? He went, he breathed life into him. So really, God's name is, but it's like, that's why, you know, what Jews say, Jehovah, right? Right? You sound like they're clearing their throat when you talk to a Jew. You know, Jehovah Jireh, all right? But it's really, it represents breath. It's... When Jesus died, the Bible says he went... And he gave up the ghost. God, give us another breath. God, breathe on the church once again. God, breathe on us again. God, bring life back to the church again. Wake us up again, Lord. Bring revival to the church again, Lord. Revive me, O God. We need the breath of God, but that comes because of a promise that he made in blood. I know it's good preaching, brother. That's really good. I'm going to take another offering because that was such a good sermon. Listen, you've been God-breathed. God's breathed upon you. He did it because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. 400 years after he made the promise to Abraham, right? The night that the Passover, remember the Passover? What did God say? He said, this is the very night that I promised Abraham your father. He says, and I want you to do one thing. I want you to put blood over the doors. Because that to me is a reminder that you understand the blood covenant I made with him. And what did Jesus do when he came? He said, take this cup and drink from the cup of the new covenant. He says, take this bread. It's my body broken for you. He said, do this in memory until I come back. Stand to your feet, please. Praise the Lord. The blood covenant, the promises of Abraham, the everlasting covenant that God made, the promise he made to us, will never end. Amen? This may sound really weird, but let's just breathe. But if you got bad breath, don't breathe too much. Fill your lungs with breath. God gave us air. And I believe every time we breathe, we say Yahweh.